Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Welcome back to another episode of the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Michelle Thames, a highly experienced marketing strategist, speaker, and fellow podcast host. Michelle brings over 15 years of expertise in digital marketing, specializing in building personal brands that truly get people seen, booked, and paid. What's particularly inspiring about Michelle's approach and something that deeply resonates with our conversations here on the podcast about holistic success is her focus on achieving these incredible results without burnout. She develops clear, strategic visibility systems that not only simplify content creation and elevate expert positioning, but also drive real, sustainable growth through organic first approach. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Same. And so let's kick it off with, what does success mean to you?
Ooh, this is so good. For me, I think it means impact, knowing that the work that I do changes lives, it opens doors and inspires other women to see bigger for themselves. That is really what success means to me. And I mean, it can have so many different meanings, but for me, it's really impact. Being able to see the impact made in other people's lives is so fulfilling for me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And can you walk us through your journey a little bit about your first role in marketing to becoming a sought after strategist and speaker?
Yes. So in 2016, I was fired from my good government healthcare job. So I went to school, I did all the things, got my master's degree, was working in healthcare. And then one day I was just fired and everything was snatched from underneath me. And I decided to fall back on my passion. So at the time I had a natural hair and beauty blog and a YouTube channel. And I said, you know what? Now it's time to really go all in on this. It's time to go all in and do some freelance writing. You know, being an influencer wasn't a thing back then, but I was beginning content creation and those things. And I said, you know what? I think that I can actually do this. And during that time, I got the opportunity to work for a startup beauty brand to help them really lay the digital foundation to their social media. And that was very eye-opening for me. I got to learn so many different things about marketing and social media and building a business. And I decided to leave there in 2019 and to bet on myself and created a media agency with my husband. And so that's how I got started with all of this, really just being fired one day. It led to me really going all in on what I'm passionate about.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So you mentioned that when you got fired, unlearning the idea that success was tied to titles. Can you elaborate on the specific mindset shift and self-care practices such as therapy and journaling that were most crucial in helping you pivot from an unexpected setback to fully embracing your entrepreneur path?
Yeah, I think that when we work jobs, sometimes the titles matter. You know, it's like senior director of this, and sometimes we get tied up into that. I don't think that titles matter. I actually have an episode on my podcast about this. I think what you put out there matters. Your dedication, your hard work matters more than any title. And sometimes when we are working jobs, we can really get tied to that and lose sight of what we're actually passionate about. And so I feel that sometimes titles don't matter. Even as a CEO, I hate to even say that, like, yes, you're the CEO, but that's not the only thing that defines you, right? Our titles don't define us. And when I was, you know, working in healthcare and I got fired from my job, like you said, it was really important for me to lean into therapy and journaling and really to sit with myself and these thoughts and feelings that I had and put them out on paper, because being fired, that is a traumatic thing, right? I have worked jobs since I graduated and had never been fired before. And for something like that to happen just was really traumatic and changed my mindset on how I really think about, you know, working a 9-to-5. And, you know, I decided that maybe that's not the best best path for me. And maybe I can move forward and really try this entrepreneurship thing. And it's been 6 years, crazy for me to say that, full-time entrepreneurship. I've been a entrepreneur for 15 years, as started as a side hustle, but really being able to lean into that fully and just continue to move forward. I journal almost every day. It is something that I continue to do. And I think to prevent yourself from burning out, sometimes we do have to sit with ourselves and just think about the career and the life that we want. I write that, and I have my journal right here on this desk. I write down the things that I want and just really think about them and bring them into existence.
Absolutely. Yeah. And same with me. I have it written down, and I've talked in the past about the amazing things that happen when you actually write down your goals and your dreams and the things that you want to achieve versus just having them inside your head. So you've talked about in the past about imposter syndrome. And I feel like any of us, unless you're like some kind of like narcissist, sociopath or something like that, like we've all encountered some sort of imposter syndrome where we just feel like a fraud when we're going after our dreams like we are. Do you have any advice for someone who's starting off that's like, yeah, that's good for you, but I can't because maybe I don't have the degree, or, you know, I don't have the experience, I don't have the expertise. Like, what do you tell someone, especially women that are getting into entrepreneurship, when there's so many things set up for them to say, yeah, I can't do that?
Yeah, I think imposter syndrome, like you said, it's something that everybody deals with, right? It's kind of like, well, who am I to do this? Like, who am I to go online and start sharing about how you can grow? But I think we have to just look back at our skills and expertise. We have to go back to those jobs that we worked and those awards that we won. What were you really good at? What are you passionate about? And really lean into that, right? And say, like, I can actually do this. It doesn't have to be something that is untouchable. I think that if you're really dedicated and you're someone who, you know, is very consistent, when you follow your dreams, there's no end to it. I think that imposter syndrome is just that thing that creeps up because, you know, you see so many people online and you're comparing yourself. And I think once we step back and not compare ourselves to other people's chapters, that imposter syndrome can kind of fade, because then it's like, everybody's actually just figuring it out, winging it online. Nobody really actually knows what they're doing. So if you approach it like that, I think that will help ease some of that imposter syndrome. But also working on your mindset, going back to that journaling. I'm big on affirmations. Every morning, I look at myself in the mirror and say, you could do this. Look, no matter what comes at you, because things are going to be hard. Like, let's be honest, nobody has not had a struggle. Everybody, I'm sure, has some type of struggle, right? Something that they're overcoming. So just going back to that and saying, you know what? I can totally do this. I'm skilled. I've worked in these positions where I've helped build multi-million dollar businesses, and you can do it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to bring back your point on journaling and things like, you know, expressing gratitude and things like that, those are not natural things. Like, your natural thing is to be concerned, or, you know, like, we feel like we're running from a bear constantly, right? We're always looking for like the next struggle, versus when you're journaling and you're actively doing something, you're looking at things from a different perspective. And I think a lot of times people don't think about those habits, but some of the most successful people understand that they have to have that balance, that they have to force that thing, because it doesn't come naturally. Otherwise, we're constantly in a state where all we see are the struggles and the bad things and the difficulty and the imposter syndrome and all that stuff. And you have to force the habit of doing those other things. I want to shift a little bit and talk about digital marketing and some visibility strategies that you've talked about. And so you emphasize that the first crucial step for new marketing and entrepreneurs specifically is achieving clarity around their ideal client, noting that most people skip this step. And me being an entrepreneur in business, I've always said, you know, be an inch wide, mile deep, not a mile wide, inch deep. And so you've kind of talked about that. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and why that's such a problem for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think it's the same, like, you're talking to everybody, you're talking to no one. I really think that you should have an ideal customer persona, really know the person who you are speaking to and like speak directly to them. It will just make everything easier. And I'm saying this to myself. I started out and saying, yeah, I help everybody. But then I said, no, Michelle, you specifically help women. And of course I will help anyone, right? But that is what I'm most passionate about. And so having that avatar when you are starting your marketing journey, right? When you talk to a specific person, it just makes it easier. If you talk to everybody, then you're going to get people who may not be your ideal client, and you are going to want to really have that clarity in the beginning so that your journey is a little bit easier. Because again, once you're talking to everybody, you're actually talking to no one. So yes, I definitely like to start with the clarity. And most entrepreneurs do miss this step, again, because they want to please everybody. And I like to say, sometimes you're not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. You know, you're not for everybody. And so I think when we focus in on clarity, we start off at a really good place.
Absolutely. And I think you're spreading your resources thin when you try to, you know, you try to focus on everyone, right? Like, what's the key differentiator? And I see this spreading yourself thin thing coming out with AI too, because it seems like people are developing this generic brand and using AI for everything. You've used some ChatGPT, right? We've talked about that before in the past. Can you tell us how you use that without losing your individuality and your individual brand?
Oh yes, I love this question. I was actually just talking to my husband about this. So I personally will never use like a computer generated video of me and my voice and all of those things and pictures and something that's not me. I want to be still relatable, authentic as me sharing this content. Now, how I have used AI is for some administrative things that might take me longer to do, research, automations, and those type of things to help in my business. So I love AI. I love a good ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, all the tools to just help us. Sometimes you can get so caught up in your thoughts that you're like, oh my gosh, where do I even start? Right? And so you can use ChatGPT as like an assistant, a tool, maybe to help you, you know, think through your ideas and put them in an organized way that makes sense, or to help you get started writing emails, or to help you with an outline for your YouTube or podcast. So me personally, I just don't want to use AI in that way where I'm creating like an AI bot, or not even an AI bot. I've seen people like creating, you know, an AI clone of themselves, and it's like the AI person talking. And that just to me is not authentic. And I don't want to steer in that direction. I prefer to use AI as a tool and a resource that's helping me do more administrative things in my business that maybe you might have to hire like a graphic designer or a VA for, that sometimes you might not have the resources and the funds to do that when you're first starting off. So those are the type of ways that I like to use AI. So you will not catch me. My podcast is me talking. It's not AI. And you will not catch me with an auto, you know, generated version of myself. It will be me all the time.
Absolutely. So you heard it. Use it as a tool. Don't be lazy. Right. I think that's what it comes down to, right? You want AI to do everything for you and be lazy. But if you keep yourself in it and use it as a tool, I think that's smart. So social media, I mean, there's so many platforms out there, and I feel like I got to be all over everything, you know, and there's ones I don't even know exist out there. And I just can't keep up. You know, what advice do you have for an entrepreneur that feels like they got to be everywhere, you know, in this day and age?
Well, you don't have to be everywhere. I see you have your social media platforms on this stream, but you don't have to be everywhere. I like to help my clients with, you should be where it feels most comfortable to you. I'm assuming podcasting is very comfortable for you, Phil, right? That's why you lean into that. And so maybe Instagram, you don't like video, and that's not your platform. So don't force it, because when you force it, it's not fun anymore. And so I think you should not be everywhere. You should pick at least maybe start off with one to two platforms. Really master those first before you start moving into, you know, TikTok and YouTube and Pinterest and a blog and a podcast and all these things. You may see people like myself and Phil, but we've been doing this for a while. So we've tried the platforms and now we've added that to our digital ecosystem. And so I like to help my clients build their digital ecosystems, starting with a few platforms that feel good to you, right? And then you show up on those platforms. Maybe for you, it's LinkedIn, right? And so you start there and you build your strategy there and then add in other visibility tools like maybe a podcast or webinars. But don't burn yourself out trying to do too much at once because it's just going to overwhelm you. There are so many platforms, so many nuances to each platform. Each platform has different specs, different ways to do things. So start with a few. Maybe that's Instagram if you like video and LinkedIn if you like to write. So just think about what brings you joy and what way and what medium will work best for you with those platforms.
Absolutely. And that's a breath of fresh air right there. I think some of it, your customers aren't on every platform, right? I mean, that's an argument there as well. I mean, we have certain platforms that we're just, the demographic's not there, and that's okay. And I'm okay with not being on those as well. So I want to talk about my wife. My wife is a fantasy author, and she wants to promote her book, but does not want to be an influencer. So she's also mentioned instances where an influencer with a massive online following launched their book and then struggled with sales because the audience didn't, you know, they followed her. They weren't necessarily readers. So I'd like to see if you have any advice for my wife. Does she need to be an influencer to promote her book? And if so, how does she make sure that the results end up in book sales and not just followers?
First of all, congratulations to your wife and her book. She does not have to be an influencer. You do not have to be an influencer. I like to think that your wife is already an expert, right? She's an expert in what she does. And so she can use social media in a different way to share her, you know, behind the scenes of maybe what this book is even about. But she doesn't have to share her life, okay? All influencers don't share their lives. But I think there's a way that you can leverage social media as an expert to get that across, because you're right. There are people who have 500,000 followers and can't even make a book sale, right? Can't even sell a t-shirt. And so I think, yes, in a sense, people on social media do buy into the person. So maybe if she is comfortable just sharing her journey as an author and what it really means to her about creating these books, because I'm sure there's a story there, but not in the sense of, hey guys, look at me, I'm an influencer, I'm doing this today. That's not the way to approach it. But rather than being an expert and just sharing this journey with people, I think they will resonate with that best. For me, like, yes, I used to be an influencer. I don't think that I'm necessarily influencer, quote unquote, now, but there's a lot of money in influencer, in the influencer business. So I do want to kind of tap back into that. But again, it's not for everybody. And I don't think that it has to be a place where you just, you know, share about your life all the time. I've worked with authors. I've been a part of a thought leader program. And a lot of the ladies were not on social media, and I'm writing a book too. And so I will be sharing my book, and we're going to cross our fingers for some book sales, but I will be leveraging social media to do that. And I think it's just so many different ways. So kudos to your wife. I want to buy the book. I need to read more fantasy books and more books that are just interesting. So again, yes, she doesn't have to be an influencer.
Yeah. I've been adding a lot of fiction to my reading routine because I think it helps with creativity, like in business. And then I've also learned that it helps with memory, right? Because you're using parts of your brain that don't actively get used. So for somebody who typically sticks to like business books, like I do like to toss in some fiction books like fantasy in there as well. So I want to talk about well-being, overcoming challenges, and specifically about burnout. So you've talked about how you help brands grow without burnout. What does that look like in practice, both for brands you work with? And I'd love to hear you as an entrepreneur, how you practice it yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm actually in a pivot right now in my business. And so to prevent burnout, I think you should absolutely be doing what you love. You should not be doing something that just feels not in alignment with your values, right? And so burnout is something that's, of course, tossed around in this entrepreneur world so many different times. And I think that when it comes to these different platforms, going back to like what really works for you and not leaning into the things that don't. And for something like Instagram, there are people who post seven times a day, Now, I'm not posting seven times a day, maybe three times a week, starting there and not burning out so quickly and just posting every day and feeling stressed out about it. I think the system that you use should really work for you in general. And so when it comes to preventing burnout, it should be, how does this strategy best fit my life? And how do I prevent burning out? How do I actually spend time with my family, right? I, you know, have recently been running a digital marketing agency for the last 6 years with heavy client work, and recently decided to step away from that because I felt like it was taking more of my time away from my family. I'm always on my phone. I'm checking comments and checking to make sure everything is good, but missing out on the opportunities to, you know, just simply be. And so creating a business that works for my life and not the other way around. So I am restructuring things to focus more on events and retreats and my digital products, more of the more valuable work that just fits my life rather than, you know, hustle and bustle and always being on in that way. And so I think when it comes to our businesses, we need to think about that and, you know, use that to prevent burnout, right? And so the different strategies and things that you can do. So I'm in a pivot right now. And so if anybody is in a pivot too, it is okay. We want to create the businesses that work for our life and not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can only imagine how difficult that is with social media, because it's like you're trained to be addicted to it almost. And, you know, how do you set up the boundaries with that, you know, like, because it can be consuming. I mean, there's times where I just delete the apps off my phone, and then there's times where I'm like, no, I need it, you know, because I got to respond to things on there and stuff like that. I mean, how do you set those boundaries?
Yes, I think turning it off at a certain time. Like I've said, when my daughter starts back to school, I'm going to be really strict. 5 o'clock, we're done. We're done with work, right? Setting those limits on your phone. Like I have an Apple. I know many people have an Apple phone. I'm sure they have this on Android too, but setting those restrictions to say, okay, it's going into no notifications. I have it set on my phone. Like when I have my time blocks, my, you know, focus comes up. And so I don't get any notifications on my phone. I want to make sure like I'm not on Instagram all day. And so Instagram turns off at a certain time. Now I'm getting there and I do need to do better, but you can keep getting better every day at this, right? And slowing down what you do and how you treat social media. Yes, I work in marketing, right? So it's a large part of what I do, but also I don't need to be on Instagram just endlessly scrolling. I want to get on there, engage, you know, engage with other people's content, get my content out there and get back to my life. Like you don't have to let it consume. And so maybe set limits, make sure, you know, if you're somebody like me, the calendar time blocks is really good for me. And so I would just lean into that.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's great. I think we're all struggling with it, right? Cause you got to have both, and it's so easy to get sucked into it. It really is. It's so difficult. So love to hear that. Do you have any daily or weekly habits that help you maintain both high performance and well-being?
I go to the gym at least 3 to 5 times a week. I think that the gym is that place that you just release like everything that you're thinking about. And it's like, but also it helps with your health, right? Me and my husband have been really consistent on walking. There's a path that we have that's like 3.6 miles. We try to walk that at least twice a week, do some fast walking, get our heart rates up, get outside, get the vitamin D on our skin. So definitely get outside, enjoy nature, do those things that make you happy. And so that is how I try to keep the stress low. The gym is one of my favorite things. I didn't go today, but I need to go. I'm probably going to go after this and get some walking in.
Awesome. Journaling, hitting the gym. Love to hear these things. Reader, you're a reader as well. What are you reading right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I'm going to pull it up because my friend just shared with me this book, but one of the recent books and my favorite book, I'm rereading it. You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Excelente. Okay. It is Excelente. And I think she has an updated version because, you know, she wrote this book such a long time ago that this new version has some updates. Great author. Another favorite book of mine is The Secret. I mean, it is a book that has been around forever and ever, right? But I think that that book just really brings you back, like we were talking about earlier, to that gratitude, being grateful. You would be surprised how just being grateful and having gratitude works. there's another book by Rhonda Byrne too. It's called The Magic for 28 Days. And I'm actually doing that book right now. So for 28 days, you do 28 specific things. Like you start off with writing 10 things that you are grateful for and why. And I think today was like being grateful for the work. And it said like, stop when you're in the work and say thank you. And so right now I want to stop and say thank you because this is work for me, right? I get to show up, go on Amazing People's Podcast, talk about what I love with the world. And I'm just thankful for that. And so if you really want to lean into gratitude, you can check out that book as well. But a book that is on my docket that I heard was really, really good is called The Genius Zone by Gay Hendricks. So I love The Big Leap, one of my favorite books. So The Genius Zone is also a really good book that is on my docket. And one other book that I really love, and then I'm gonna stop because I could give you like 17 books, but I
love it.
We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Thank you. Yeah, add a few to my Kindle list. I appreciate that. So you've talked in the past about delegation being your biggest blind spot when it comes to scaling your business despite its necessity. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs facing similar delegation struggles?
Yes, this is such a struggle for me. I'm such a solopreneur. We have a very small team, but I honestly feel that you can have a small but mighty team and get it done. So actually on my team, it is me, my husband, and my best friend, and it has really worked for us. And so I think if everyone on the team leans into their strengths and we all are working towards the greater good, we know the goals of the business, it can work better. But sometimes we do need to work on delegating. I think that I will get to a place in my business in the next few years that I feel more comfortable delegating some things. But I'm sorry, sometimes I'm that person like, I could just do it myself and it could be faster, right? Say, for instance, I'm doing a podcast. I use Riverside. And so I can just edit it right there, like, because yeah, then I would have to send it to somebody. Then they have to send it back to me. And so I need to get better at that. And so yes, delegation is one of those things that is just like a thorn in my side. But I think saying that to someone, if anyone listening wants to really do better at this, let's think about the things that we hate to do and just start to get those off of our plates. And bit by bit, it doesn't have to be like, okay, I'm going to give everything, but just maybe slowly start looking at the things that you don't like to do that waste your time. And yes, waste your time right in the day when us as business owners and CEOs should be fully focused on money generating activities, following up with leads, figuring those things out. And the things that we are not good at, like editing, and I'm saying this to myself, should probably be passed on to someone else. So just start to think about those things.
Yeah, no, I love that. Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I love about this conversation is you talk a little bit about vulnerability, but you also talk about being real with yourself, right? So it's not about forcing yourself or faking it and these different things. It's understanding who you are, right? What works, where it works, and that sort of thing. And it seems like in this day and age, people are trying to be somebody else instead of who they actually are. And then they wonder why it doesn't work, right? But you have a very refreshing approach saying like, hey, understand who you are, lean into it, and work on those things. And I think it's been a great discussion. So I want to say I really appreciate your time. For those who want to learn more about your journey and insights, how can they connect with you?
Yes, thank you so much. This has been amazing. You can connect with me on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Michelle L. Thames. It's one of my favorite places to hang out. And I also have a podcast. If you wanted to learn more about social media, using online business to really grow, check out my podcast, Social Media Decoded. And if you want to just start your visibility journey and you're like, I don't know where to start, I do have a 7-day visibility audio challenge that's delivered straight to your inbox, and you can learn more about visibility, what tools to use. And so that's what we talked about here. And so go ahead and jump into that challenge and get visible. It doesn't have to be hard. You can have a strategic plan. And I promise you in those 7 days, you will be able to become more visible in a way that works for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Michelle. And to everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Phil Portman on the Success Is podcast.